iPhone seekers got their fix with a new shipment of the 3G version yesterday after nearly a week of empty shelves. But what are the benefits and costs of this latest incarnation of Apple's hit product? And what are we to make of the latest warnings about cell phone use and cancer? Our favorite tech guru, Mario Armstrong, joins us now to bring us up to speed on these topics and more. Hey, Mario, how you doing?
Tony Cox, how are you, my friend?
I am wonderful, thank you. Earlier this week, the new 3G iPhone was about as easy to find as a cheap tank of gas, but only 9% of Apple stores had them in stock on Monday. But a shipment yesterday satiated the gadget seekers. Apple ads say this one is twice as fast, half the cost. Mario, what else sets this thing apart?
Well, you're absolutely right. The demand for this thing has been insane. And I think what sets it apart is, number one, I think the cost. I mean, you know, you know, when they first came out with the original iPhone, we were talking upwards of $500 and $600. And now we're talking around $200. So we're talking three times less expensive. So that clearly is going to be a pill that people can financially swallow a little bit better. So that's the first thing. But, you know, the other thing is that they also been touting this 3G network, which makes the phone operate faster when you're browsing the internet or downloading email and things of that nature. So you're supposed to be having a faster connected phone and a less cost for the phone itself.
To follow up on that point, I've been hearing that there have been some complaints, in fact, about the 3G network coverage. Is this a fault of the phone or of the signal?
Yeah, this is a real problem for them because they've been really touting this phone, as you mentioned at the top of this, the 3G iPhone. So they're pushing this 3G word, which is an acronym for just saying it's a faster data network. And you're right, there's been discussions about that, there's been fluctuations of whether or not this coverage is really that good. And so you see testing, say, from San Francisco, where it actually shows that the new 3G iPhone is about five times faster than the old one. But then when I've tested it in Maryland, D.C., I see that it's only about twice as fast. But then you can read other accounts on various Mac aficionado websites where they talk about that it's really just showing a lot of fluctuation and a lot of frustration. Some people are saying in some cases that it's not even faster than the old data network. So it's still spotty. That's the problem. It's not the phone itself. It's the coverage area.
And there's one more thing, too. Excuse me for interrupting you like that.
Sure.
And that's this, because it's one of the reasons that I don't have one. You go in to buy one and you think you're getting the phone and you get everything that goes along with it, right?
Yeah, you can get a big with some of these things. And that's because we need to be more cautious shoppers when we're buying these electronic devices. I don't care if it's cell phones or plasma and LCD televisions. There are other things that you need to really function with these phones that the uh-uhs catch you after the fact. For instance, on this particular new 3G iPhone, the original one had unlimited text messaging. Well, that's gone now. So now you have to pay $20 more per month if you want unlimited text messaging. So really, the cost of the phone on a monthly basis has now increased by about $15 to $20 more per month than a similar plan on the initial phone.
All right, let's talk about something else that hit the news this week with regard to cell phones, and it's this. California drivers, of course, are still getting used to the ban on handheld cell phone use while driving. New York also has a ban in place, as does the District of Columbia in your area, and there are some other states that have it too. Some drivers have taken to putting their phones on speaker. Some are holding the handset at arm's length. They are finding all sorts of ways to get around the rule. How effective are these hands-free requirements?
It's still too early to tell. I mean, I do know people that have received tickets for these hands-free laws, especially in the D.C. area, as you mentioned. But, you know, holding the phone, you mentioned it. Some people are trying to get around it by holding the phone and putting the phone on speaker. Well, that's not really adhering to what is called hands-free. Hands-free means not using your hand. So I don't know that we're really seeing this being enforced. I mean, in California, the fine is really kind of cheap. I mean,
yeah,
it's a $50 fine.
Yeah, I think
I mean,
it's 20 to start.
You're right. It's an inexpensive fine. I mean, in Washington, D.C., you're talking about close to $100 for the fine. So it's a little bit different ballgame there. You do see people riding around in the district and in New York and New Jersey with earpieces in their ear. So I don't know if we can tell yet whether or not it's really effective. We have seen a lot of tickets given out in the D.C. area for this type of offense. But the key is people really need to start learning how to use their phones. Many phones today have voice activation and voice dialing, and people aren't using that feature. So if you really want to go hands-free, that requires you to have some type of headset, whether it's wired or wireless, and really learning how to use maybe voice dialing features so you don't never really have to touch the phone.
But you have to have your windows up, don't you, for that to work in the car?
Well, it depends, right? It depends
yeah,
on how good.
I've got a phone.
I mean, there's some great earpieces out there. I've tested several of these Bluetooth wireless earpieces that are out there, and I've tested a good share of them. And some of them work quite well in a convertible. I don't have one, but I've tested in one of my friends.
Don't have a convertible or the other. Never mind. Final thing is this, Mario. The head of a prominent cancer center this week warned his staff against excessive cell phone use, the old argument back again that cell phones cause or increase the risk of cancer. What about this?
Yeah. Now, see, I'm not Dr. Mario for a reason, right? I mean, I am the tech guy, but I can tell you this. This is causing an alarm throughout the industry. People are emailing me consistently. And the bottom line is, Tony, these cell phones do actually have what is called specific absorption rate. There is radiation that is generated from cell phones. And in order for a cell phone to actually make it to market and pass FCC certification, it has to be lower than 1.6 watts per kilogram of radio frequency energy that is absorbed by the body. For those that are really interested in this, do a search on SAR, which is specific absorption rate. That's what is the measurement that the FCC goes by. So you don't want a phone that has 1.6 watts per kilogram because that's the maximum that the FCC requires. And I've had to put a list on my blog at MarioArmstrong.com so people can kind of see if their phone falls in this list and how much radio frequency energy your phone is emitting. So the bottom line is these phones do have RF energy. Whether or not it's causing cancer still hasn't been proven. But it does make sense to keep the phone away from you until we have more conclusive data.
In 10 seconds or less, does that mean it's better to use an earpiece as opposed to holding the phone up to your head?
Great question. The quick answer is it's better to use a wired earpiece because I still haven't done testing as to whether the Bluetooth technology of wireless earpieces has a problem as well.
All right. Thank you very much, Mario.
Thank you, Tony.
That was our regular tech contributor, Mario Armstrong, joining me from the studios of the Baltimore Sun.